I am blessed. I am blessed. If you're blessed, give them a clap of praise.
God bless you all. The trial of this world is getting closer. The pull I feel sometimes is more than I can bear. Sometimes I'm just on the verge of just giving over. The strength within myself just isn't there, but something keeps holding me. Every day I see keeping me faithfully to overcome my trials, guiding me constantly, giving me victory. He's my reality because something keeps holding me. Satan laid before me his temptation and his desire to steal away my faith. But I have found with time the revelation that Jesus Christ alone is keeping me by His grace. Jesus keeps holding me. Every day I see He's helping me faithfully to overcome my trials, guiding me constantly, giving me victory. He's my reality because Jesus keeps holding me. Satan laid before me his temptation and his desire to steal away my faith. But I have found with time the revelation that Jesus Christ alone is keeping me by His grace. Jesus keeps holding me. Every day I see He's helping me faithfully to overcome my trials, guiding me constantly, giving me victory. He's my reality because Jesus keeps holding me. Jesus keeps holding me. day, every hour, every moment I see. To overcome, to overcome all my trials, guiding me constantly, giving me victory. He's my reality, because Jesus keeps holding me. Jesus keeps holding me. Every day I see, He's helping me faithfully to overcome my trials, guiding me constantly, giving me victory. He's my reality, because Jesus keeps holding me.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Alicia. God bless you. Appreciate that. Excellent. Excellent. I felt the anointing there. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Brother Kern, you want to help us take up our offering this afternoon? Praise the Lord.
Father God, it's indeed a privilege, Lord, to be here in your house once again. Pray, Lord God, that you will give us a blessing. Remember Brother Bob as he comes. Speak to him, Lord, that he can speak to his people. Yes, pray, Lord, Father, that you also meet the needs of the people here.
Yes.
In my name, which you came in, Lord, the leader of the communities. We ask, Lord God, that you remember the times of our friends. Bless him. Sanctify, God, and stretch and meet the needs of our people. We ask all this in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing a little bit of this, and with this, we'll have Brother Bob come out. Sing "The Windows of Heaven Are Open." Amen. I remember I sing it fast, so they know up here. Hey, the windows of heaven are open. The word's about to be preached to us. Amen. It's, you gotta be happy about it. Amen. Oh, the windows of heaven are open. Let's stand to our feet. The blessings are falling tonight. 'Cause there's joy, joy, joy in my heart. Since Jesus makes everything right. Well, I gave him my old tattered garment. And he gave me a robe of pure white. And I'm seeking a man up from heaven. And that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven, oh, the windows of heaven are open. Oh, the blessings are falling tonight. Because there's joy, joy, joy in my heart. Since Jesus makes everything right. Well, I gave him my old tattered garment. And he gave me a robe of pure white. And I'm feasting on manna from heaven. And that's why I'm happy too. That's why I'm happy. Oh, that's why I'm happy. That's why I'm happy. That's why I'm happy tonight. 'Cause I've got joy, joy, joy in my heart. Since Jesus makes everything right. Well, I gave him my old tattered garment. And he gave me a robe of pure white. And I'm feasting on manna from heaven. And that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows, oh, the windows of heaven are open.
and the blessings are falling tonight, because there's joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus makes everything right. Well, I gave him my old tattered garment, and he gave me a robe of pure white, and I'm feasting on manna from heaven. And that's, as Brother Bob comes out, let's sing, that's why I'm happy. Oh, that's why I'm happy. That's why I'm happy. That's why I'm happy tonight. 'Cause I've got joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus makes everything right. Well, I gave him my old tattered garment, and he gave me a robe of pure wine, and I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight.
Amen. Amen. We got plenty to be happy about this evening. You glad to be in the house of the Lord? Let's go ahead and turn over into the book of Genesis chapter 22, and we'll read verses 15 to 17. You know, you think about what Brother Branham said in the greatest battle ever fought, when he was talking about how that ministers are supposed to give people some ammunition. So, to fight that battle. I know we're all in our own little personal, we're actually in a war, and we're all fighting our little battles, and we all have things that we're dealing with. And so this evening, maybe, Lord willing, I can give you a little bit something to kind of fight that battle with. Lay something in your hand and put something on your arm and on your head to fight a little bit better with. So this afternoon we're going to read from Genesis chapter 22, and maybe just take the topic of "Thy seed shall possess the gate," and I believe that's a topic that's loaded for bear,
yeah, buddy.
Loaded for Amen. Devil. We'll say that. Amen. Loaded for devil.
Amen.
And this is talking about just to kind of set the context. Abraham had brought his son Isaac up to sacrifice him, and after all that was done with, then the angel of the Lord begins to speak to Abraham and tells him this. And before we go into the word, let's just go to the author in prayer. Lord God, we're so privileged to be able to look into your word, Lord Jesus, to gain strength and to be able to defeat the enemy with, Lord. And I pray, God, that you'll give us power and an anointing, Lord Jesus, this afternoon to be able to understand the true essence of what's written in these pages, Lord God, as we look into your word. Lord, we just open up every door, Lord, this afternoon, Lord God, that you'll feel welcome, Lord, to move among the aisles, Lord Jesus, and they just have preeminence in our hearts and in our lives this afternoon, Lord Jesus. Quicken your word to us now, Lord Jesus, and help us along life's road, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask this blessing upon your people and upon your word. Amen. And it says, "And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies." Now, that's a promise right there. If we could really understand the essence of what that's saying, then there's something there that we can grab a hold to and will give us overcoming power in this hour. And he said in verse 18, "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." You may be seated. The Lord had his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, Brother Branham, when he was preaching, "Thy seed shall possess the gate," after trial, he began to relate this story. And actually, if you study the message, as many of us do here in this church, we really study it out and go and find the things that Brother Branham said, really like, I like to call unpacking it. And all throughout the message, Brother Branham talks about, uses this story as a basis to show that what the gift that God has given the bride in this day and all down through the seven church ages. But anyway, in this scene, Brother Brown, he kind of lays the context. He said, this is open in one of the most marvelous scenes of Abraham. And he's laying out this story of Abraham going up, just kind of imagine, just to kind of set the stage that he walks up and God has told him to go to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, the son that he had promised him after all these years of age and trouble and turmoil in his life, and God promised him that he would give him this son. And now he's come and told him to take him up on this mountain and sacrifice him. And so he leads Isaac up to the top of the mountain. And you know, Brother Abraham said that Abraham, if you really look at his life, and that's why the Bible says that we're the seed of Abraham. Because in Abraham were all these attributes of things that a believer should have. So if you say that you are the seed of Abraham, then your life and the way that you look at the gospel should reflect in you the same way that Abraham looked at the word and looked at the promises of God and was steadfast in his faith. And so we see this scene opening up at one of the most marvelous scenes in Abraham as he goes up and at the story of Jehovah Jireh, that God would provide right there in that critical hour. He provided a sacrifice so that he would not have to kill Isaac, and he stayed his hand. And there in the bush, trapped in the bush, was the ram that he was able to go over and take and kill in the stead of Isaac. Now, Brother Branham said, you know that Abraham is the father of the faithful. He's the father of the faithful. So that means being the father of the faithful, that you look back to him as your example, and everything wrapped up in the way that he looked at the word is how you looked at, you also look at the word. And he said, the promise was made to Abraham. So Abraham that had that promise. And you look at how Abraham just held on to that promise, that I believe that God is going to bring this promise to pass. And he said, only being heirs with him through Christ is the only way we receive the promise is through Abraham. In other words, the way that Abraham came and looked at the word, that's the same way that we get access to every promise that we have in Christ. Now let's back up for a second and remember what we're talking about here. We're talking about the promise that thy seed shall possess the gate. So if Abraham got that promise after he went through all the trial and endured all of the things and showed to God that his faith was true and something real, now you can become a partaker in that promise. That if God gave Abraham that promise that thy seed shall possess the gate of your enemies, now we're sitting in a moment where whatever your gate is, whatever the battle is that you're fighting, if you're wrapped up in Christ and you've got the Holy Ghost, now you've got access to that same promise that Abraham had access to. Now, Brother Abraham said he was an example to what we should be. He was an example to what we should be. He said Abraham was just an ordinary man. Many times we want to make these great heroes of the faith something beyond, something special within themselves. But the only thing special about Abraham was that he just believed God. A man that was taken out of Ur of Chaldees, somebody that was just an idol worshiper that didn't know nothing about God. But yet one day God came on the scene and spoke to him and pulled him over to the side and said, go this way. And he turned and he began to walk a little bit different. Now you see, that's the way that he does so many of us. We come out of different backgrounds and come out of different religious ideas, but yet the thing that makes us unique, the thing that makes us special is not anything within ourselves that we can do, anything that within ourselves that we can like push up or pull up or anything, but it's just simply that we just believe God. So he said Abraham was just an ordinary man. He was called of God and he was faithful to that call. So you see, if we say, well, I'm the seed of Abraham, and we look back to the father of our faith, then we also must be faithful to that call. Just as Abraham was faithful to the call that God gave to him, we too must be faithful to the call. What that means is, when you hear the message of the hour, when you look into the word of God, you've got to have something to stand for, and that is the thing that you stand for in this hour. You stand for truth. You stand for righteousness. You're standing something, and you're faithful to that. You're faithful to the word that you've heard. You're faithful to pray and to read and to study. You're faithful to come to church. You're faithful to it because you are the seed of Abraham. And he said when God spoke to him, Abraham, now listen to these attributes that he's laying out. He said when God spoke to him, Abraham never one time doubted that voice. Never one time did he doubt that voice. All along the road when he was going to crucify, to kill Isaac, all along the road of life, when after God had pulled him over to the side and said, go this way, he never one time doubted that voice. Brother Abraham said he stayed right with it. He stayed right. Now see, if you say that you're the seed of Abraham, stay right with the word. Stay right with that voice of God, because you've heard the voice of God just like Abraham heard that voice of God. You see, you're on the same journey. You're on the same road. God pulled you aside just like he pulled Abraham aside. And he said, no matter what the difficult was, now listen to this, no matter what the difficult was, he stayed right with it. You know, life's road has many difficulties and many bumps in the road, many things that come along, many pains in your body, many things that seem like they go awry. You see, loved ones pass away, loved ones go through troubles and trials, and it seems like along life's road that people turn against you and they don't love you anymore, and seems like everything's going sideways, but yet a real true seed of Abraham will stay faithful to the call. No matter what the difficulty was, he stayed right with it. No matter what the devil throws in your path. In other words, no matter what the gate is in front of you. No matter what the gate is in front of the promise of God. A real true seed of Abraham is going to go right through that gate. Why? Because Christ has conquered it for you. He's already paid the price for you. Now listen. Brother Branham said, he said his faith was getting stronger as he walked. As he journeyed, his faith was actually getting stronger and stronger. Amen. Now let's pay attention to this now. Brother Bram said that there was actually two seeds of Abraham. There's two seeds of Abraham. In other words, you gotta paint the picture like this. There's a seed on the inside. Something on the inside, something supernatural that's taking place. Something on the inside that'll hold you, that'll anchor you. And then a seed on the outside, the seed of your flesh. Right. Abraham had a natural seed that produced all the Jews and all the Israelites and all the natural genes. But something that anchored him, that was a supernatural seed. And the supernatural seed is what we're talking about. Brother Abraham said, now one of them was natural seed. The other one was a spiritual seed. One of them was natural by his flesh. The other one was the seed of his faith. The faith that we also might be Abraham's seed by the promised word. Now you see, you just picture now, those two things have always been at war. They're at war right now. If you've got the new birth down on the inside of your soul, you're anchored by that seed, but yet it's at war with your outside that's been born by flesh, born by lust desire, a natural seed. And it's at war with one another, where on the outside you might have boils and aches and pains and things going wrong in your body, but there's something down on the inside that's anchoring you, that's holding you, that seed of God, the seed of Abraham is what I'm talking about. And brother, now listen, see, as his outside began to get weaker and weaker and older and his hair began to turn gray, and he looked on the outside and began to wonder, how can God's promises come to pass? How can I get a body change? Let's say it like that. How can I see God's word fulfilled in my flesh? As on the outside, it began to get weaker and weaker. On the inside, it began to get stronger and stronger and stronger. His faith was getting stronger. Brother Branham said, now after he had been tried for 25 long years, instead of growing weaker, he grew stronger. Now on the outside, it looked like he was getting weaker. On the inside, he was getting stronger. Now we gotta make this personal. Now how many of us sitting here this afternoon, on the outside it looks like we're getting weaker. And our bodies begin to fail us. Our bodies begin to betray us, as we say. Our hair begins to grow wider and we're getting older on the outside, and you begin to wonder, is it possible for my body to be changed? Is it possible for God's word to be fulfilled? But yet because you've begun to accumulate the word on the inside, it's something is beginning to accumulate. Your faith is growing and growing. Growing and growing. One day that faith on the inside is going to take over the weakness on the outside. Amen. Brother Branham said in Elijah in the meal offering, he said, and if our father trusted God and took a promise, an impossibility, and held on to it for 25 years before it was ever manifested, getting stronger all the time. His seeds, just like the Father, no matter what happens when we're prayed for, it's settled, getting stronger all the time. And he said, and he piled those years up. He piled those years up. So as he got older and his body died out, the wombs of Sarah, the womb where it got, was infertile, and therefore his strength was gone. And there was, it's totally impossible. He got to the place where on the outside it looked like the circumstance. Now, we got to bring this home now. It looks like, if you look at all the circumstances, if you look at the outside with all this COVID and all this sickness and stuff going around the world, that people died and things, it begins to look like on the outside that you become just a failure. You become a failure like Abraham looked like he was a failure. And like Jesus Christ on the cross looked like he was a failure when he went to the cross. Looked like on the outside he was a failure, but he rose in victory and conquered everything, conquered death, hell, and the grave, came forth victorious, because on the inside there was something there to anchor, something there in Abraham's life to keep him, and there's something there in the life of every Christian and the bride that's anchoring, that's moving you on, even though it looks like on the outside. See, we've got to ignore that natural seed, ignore the flesh, ignore everything, ignore everything except we're looking to the unseen. You see, that's why Paul said in Romans 4:17, calleth those things which be not as though they were, talking about Abraham, because Abraham called the things that were as though they were not. He was not looking at that outside veil. He was looking at something that the eyes of your flesh cannot behold. He was looking to the promise of God's word. You know, Brother Branham, he gave us that example of how the Old and the New Testament are what God wants us to look through. As we look to the promises, they're like binoculars that if you hold them up to your eyes, you use binoculars to look way off, to look far off into the distance. You see, it doesn't make any sense to look at, through binoculars at your wristwatch, because they're made for looking far off to God's promises. You're actually looking at God's promises of what you're going to walk into. You're looking, and see, Abraham was not looking at his present circumstance. He was actually looking to a city. He was looking for a city that was yet to come, and he was walking, his whole journey was looking for something, looking for something that God was going to manifest in his life. Maybe not even in his life, but down the road, his children, one day the seed of Abraham would see those things that he looked for come to pass. And all the time that he was walking, his faith began to accumulate. It began to build up, and his faith was actually accumulating. Brother Abraham said, in thy house, he said, friends, a conversion outside of the same thing won't last long either. He said, when you go to church, we're talking about accumulating now, talking about piling up faith. He said, well, I'm going to join church and I'm going to be baptized. If that isn't coming from a heart of love to God yonder, it'll never go nowhere. All you'll do is join church and be baptized. He said, but when you're converted to Christ, a love to Christ, then you accumulate a faith in Christ. Like you would to your wife or to your husband, you accumulate a faith that you walk in that faith. He said, I don't know, you just something about you. You just got a something that anchors you there. What's anchoring you? The love relationship you have with God, as you keep walking, as you keep putting one foot in front of the other, it begins to keep building up. As you add word upon word, precept upon precept, your faith begins to grow. It begins to grow from just a little baby form and growing, piling up until you begin to understand the things of God and understand that it doesn't matter what the outside looks like. All that matters is something on the inside is taken over. Something on the inside is in control. And God provided a lamb. He said, what is it? Love conquers all things. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And faith will accompany that love. He said, Abraham had to believe God in order to love God to believe him. You love him. And the more you love him, the more faith will accumulate. The more you love God, the more your faith will accumulate. And as you go, it's just building up, you see. Like you see, we want to pay close attention to what we're accumulating in life because you can actually accumulate the wrong thing. And so we want to accumulate the word. But you know, I was thinking about so many times that somebody would be healed in Brother Branham's meetings. And then they would go home and they would go listen to the naysayers at their church and they would listen to the people around them and their family that say, well, you never really had it, that problem in your body so bad to begin with. I don't know if you really got healed. And they would begin to, accumulate all this doubt instead of actually accumulating something that will build faith. You know, Brother Branham equated it with accumulating junk. And there's a lot of junk in our lives. If we can get rid of the junk and replace it with something that's real, something that's supernatural, then the real thing is what will take us somewhere. But we gotta get rid of all the junk, all the weights that so easily beset us, all the stuff that's weighing us down. Now Brother Branham, he said in the message, faith is our victory. He said, what if we were going to take Now think about Abraham looking for that city. He's going somewhere. And Brother Abraham said, what if we're going to take a little trip in 30 days from now to another land? And in this land, the climate was so wonderful till we'd never come back no more. Ain't never coming back. When you get there, you don't ever want to come back. And over there, we would never have to die or get old, but we would just be there forever. Could I imagine seeing you going around to the 10-cent store buying up a lot of junk to take with you?
Yeah.
Buying up a lot of junk to pile up and accumulate all your junk so that when you get there, you'll have, see, that doesn't even show somebody in the right place, frame of mind to accumulate. We accumulate all this worldliness and all this stuff that's not going to do any good to us to help us get to that eternal home. He said, you'd be trying to get rid of what junk you had. And when you just frustrate yourself with joining one church and then the other, you accumulate more junk. But if you'll think of where you're going, think of that city, think of that eternal home. If you'll think of where you're going, you'll get rid of a lot of that doubt and nonsense. You'll have real faith. And I think about all the junk that we have in our lives, all the junk that we carry along with us. Well, we won't even hardly come to church because of all the junk and the baggage that we've got. We get offended at one another, and it's just a bunch of junk is what it is. We get all this baggage of nonsense that people have told us about. I don't know if the healing is really for you. I don't know if that message is really right. And if you get around a lot of people like that, you begin to just accumulate a lot of junk and a lot of trash. But if you'll stay focused on the Word of God and get your head buried in the Holy of Holies, get all wrapped up in Him, you'll be wound up so much in Him until it'll take you somewhere. That's why the book of Hebrews said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which just so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us lay aside every weight. Why? Because we're going somewhere. That's why we dress right, because we're going to a place that requires that kind of dress. That's why we think right, because it's transforming our mind so that we can get there. We got to lay aside. That's why the Song of Solomon says, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. It's the little foxes. It's the little things of junk of life that hinder us and cause us and deter us from our goal. He said, let's get rid of the junk and accumulate something lasting. You know what? I've kind of preached this sermon to my kids before in one form or another, and framing it like this. That, bless their hearts to be a preacher's kids. But I frame it like this sometimes, that I want God and man. I want the devil. I want everybody to know what side I'm on. I want everybody to know whose side I'm on. And if you're going around carrying a lot of junk with you and posting a lot of junk on Facebook and on Instagram and everything, then can anybody know? I want somebody to know whose side I'm on. I remember when I was growing up in high school, just bear with me a little bit, because when I was growing up in high school, I went through a phase where, you know, I had this big old necklace on and big old gold. I'll just put it like this. I looked like you couldn't quite tell what side I was on. Now, believe it or not, but listen, God will get a hold of you. I put that out there because, you know, you, just like you began to put Abraham up on a pedestal, you can start thinking that people started off a Christian or whatever. We didn't start off as a Christian. We started off a bunch of hoodlums. We started off on the side of the road, and we needed to be drugged to where we were supposed to be going. God had to get a hold of us. So listen, there was a time in my life when you might look, I've looked at my life and been like, what, I wonder what side he's on. But now I want everybody to know that I'm on the side of Christ. I want to be clean cut, dressed right, talking right, walking right. I want everybody that looks at me to say, there goes a Christian. That's my desire. Whether or not I believe it's manifesting, that's my desire. And I want that for every young person, every old person in this church, that when they look at you, they know. Listen, when they look at your Facebook or your Instagram, they're not questioning whether or not you got makeup on, or questioning whether or not you sneak around behind your mama and daddy with pants on, questioning whether you're sneaking around or whether you're really living a life. I want somebody to know that I'm on the side of righteousness. I want somebody to know that I'm on the side of God. I want somebody to know that I'm on the side of the message, not just dibble-daddling, not believing some kind of new lukewarm religion, some kind of where you're hot 1 minute, hot when you come to church, but when you go out the church door, you're cold. I want somebody to know whose side I'm on. You know, the things you say, the actions that you do, they actually represent something. You know, when you have an ambassador that goes to another nation, the ambassador of the United States, he'll go to another nation, and the things that he says actually represents the United States, even though he's not the president, even though he's not, you know, maybe somebody in a big authority or whatever, but he's an ambassador. And the things that you say and the things that you do when you go out into school and out into the workplace, they're actually representing Christ. Because if you say you're a Christian and you this ain't even hardly in my notes. If you go out into public and you're not representing Christ, then what are people going to think about that thing that you say you're representing? You say you're a message believer, but then you go out in public and you're not living the life of a Christian. You're not doing the things that are right. I want somebody to know who's side I'm on. I'm on the side of Jesus Christ. And you think about, Brother Branham said, lay aside all the junk. Lay aside all this junk in our life. Why? Because there's only one thing that you can take with you out of this life. And that's your character. And what character do we want to take? I don't even want to take my character. I want to take Jesus Christ's character with us. Because that's the only thing that's got eternity with it. That's the only thing that's got any eternal quality with it, eternal life with it, is the character of Jesus Christ. That's what he's trying to mold in us, the character, the kind of character where somebody can say something against you and you won't rile back. The kind of character that can endure trials. The kind of character that can endure temptation. The kind of character that can take up your cross and follow him. The kind of character that can believe like Abraham believed. That's the kind of character. That's the only thing that you can take with you. All the junk of life doesn't matter. All the things that sometimes we think are so important, what other young people think about us. Who cares what other young people that are going down the wrong track care about you? I want to care about what Jesus thinks about me. So we look at, he was talking about love. You love him, the more you love him, the more faith you'll accumulate. And it's all based on love. Now, Brother Branham, in this message, he says, see the Bible, now what he's getting at now, he's starting to lay down the foundation of what really happened there. When Abraham and Sarah's bodies were changed and all the things that are not written there, and he begins to explain how you got to read the Bible as though it's a love letter. He said the Bible is a supernatural book. It's written so that it's hid from the schools, theologians. Jesus said, I thank thee, Father, thou hast hid it from the wise and prudent and revealed it to babes such as would learn. It's a book of love. When the love of God comes into the heart, then you fall in love with God. Then he reveals himself. The Bible meaning, the interpretation of the Bible is God himself interpreting his promises. But the Bible is written between the lines. In other words, you cannot read the Bible through some kind of intellectual schooling and understanding. You can't read it through intellectual conception. It's got to be a love relationship. It's a love letter that you got to understand the meaning between. You've got to have have a relationship with the author to know what the real essence of it is. It's revealed through a love relationship with the author. And Brother Branham compared it to like a love letter that he might get from his wife. And anybody else would read that love letter and they would miss the true essential meaning in it. They would miss all the things that she might be saying about how I miss you and I love you, I care for you. And he said, I know what she wants to say, see, whether she tells me that or not, see, I know what she means because it's my love for her and my understanding. You see, so many times you'll hear people say, well, I want to know what the seals are. Just drop it in my lap. Just tell me. Give me a good intellectual understanding of what the seals are. If you want to know the seals or anything else in the Bible, then you've got to have a relationship with the author, because only the author can tell you what the real meaning is. So you've got to fall in love with God. You've got to fall. That's why we come to church. That's actually why we come to church, not to be schooled in message theology, but to develop a love relationship with the author that can tell us what the real essence of the meaning is. Now, how many of us, excuse me, y'all, how many of us, maybe one time our kids, when they were young, they would bring us a little letter scrawled in crayon, and it'd have all kinds of words that only, maybe they only knew what it really meant. And you'd look at it and you'd say, well, all these little squiggles and everything. And you'd look at it and say, well, I don't know what it means. And maybe you show it to your wife or your husband and you'd say, what does this mean? I don't know. But then you could go take it back to them, the one that drew it, and say, tell me what this says. And they could say, well, it says, I love you, mama. It says, I love you, daddy. And you take it back to the author, and the author can tell you what it says. And that's how the word of God is. If you've got a relationship with the author, you can take every promise back to him, and he'll tell you what it says. He'll tell you what it means. Listen, that runs through the whole Bible from the beginning to the end, from what happened in the Garden of Eden all the way to the book of Revelation. If you've got a relationship with the author, he'll tell you what the essence of it is. Amen. Amen. Oh, excuse me. Now, Brother Branham said the womb of Sarah was infertile, and therefore his strength was gone. His strength on the outside, and there was, it's totally impossible. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 18, verses chapter 18, verse 10, it says, now Abraham and Sarah, as they were sitting out there, Sarah in the tent, and the Son of Man came walking up and began to have a conversation with him. And it says, now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So they were in a place where it began to look like the promise was not going to happen. I know I'm repeating myself a lot this afternoon, but I'm really, you know, you look around the message and people begin to get old and they begin to get aged and things, and things begin to start going wrong, and you begin to get in your mind that you've got to be a young person, or you've got to have a great quantity of youthfulness in your life. You've got to still have that youthful spark for the word of God to be made manifest in your members. But Brother Branham said, your old age and your problems and your frailty doesn't matter to God. It doesn't matter to God one bit. Your old age does not matter to God. Your problems don't matter to God. They were well stricken in age. They might have had all this fatigue and headaches and mental decline and sickness. And maybe we'll put it like this, embarrassing doctor visits. Isn't that well stricken in age? You start going to the doctor and you got all these embarrassing doctor visits where you've got to do things at the doctor that's embarrassing. Listen, it doesn't matter. Your old age doesn't matter. Your I'm preaching a message of edification. I'm trying to build up your faith. I'm trying to give you something to help you with. That natural seed on the outside doesn't matter. What matters is the seed of Abraham on the inside. Brother Branham, as he's preaching this, he begins to call out people in the audience, and he said, you people, some of you that were crippled, you might not see no difference for a while. You might not see no difference. Look at Abraham. Abraham did. Don't make any difference what? That ain't what you're looking at. You don't look at your symptoms. Look at what he said. If you say, I still feel the pain, that don't have nothing to do with it. It don't have nothing to do with it if you still feel aches and pains in your body. If you can barely walk to your car, if you can barely walk up the steps, it don't have nothing to do with it. He said, you've done what God said do. He said, see, don't look at that. Look at what he said. You see, this morning we're not looking at our own frailty and our own problems and whether or not we can do it and whether or not we can walk to the stairs or whether we can go up and down. But we're looking at God's promise and we're looking at what he already said. He said, I can just see that gray hair of Sarah, a little grandma with a shawl over her shoulder and a little dust cap holding a stick going around. She said, me having pleasure with my Lord and him old too. In other words, we're too old to even think about having relations, having marital. We're too old for that. We're too old. We're thinking that she was going to fulfill the word of God by her own ability. But no, it's not by our own ability. It's not by our might or by our power, but it's by the Spirit of God. And he said, here was Abraham, this long beard, holding on a stick as he was, well stricken in age. Well stricken in age. And I see the next morning, his shoulders begin to straighten up. The hump come out of his back. Her hair began to turn. They went back to a young man and a woman. Now see, Brother Bram, when he was preaching this, he said, people will say, oh, if God could just patch me up. Thinking about Abraham and Sarah maybe sitting there. Oh, if God could just patch me up. Because we get in our mind that it's not possible. That we've got to be patched up here and there a little bit. But God is going to transform our bodies wholly and completely. One day we're going to be walking along and it doesn't matter how stricken in age are. How you might even be on dialysis. It doesn't matter what on the outside looks like. But one day he's going to completely transform you. He said he didn't just patch Sarah up and patch Abraham up. He turned them back to a young man and woman. Now that may seem strange, but now watch the rest of the word and put it together. The word is inspired and you have to be inspired with the word. I'm trying to express for you to you and it, just because things might be going wrong in your flesh, now is not the hour to be getting laying off your faith, laying aside your faith. Now is the hour to begin accumulating your faith, to lay a hold of what God has already said, to believe what he said. And right after that, you see right after that, read between the lines. All of a sudden, they up and they go on a vacation to Gerar. Now, Gerar is like a 10 or 11 day journey all the way over to the coast. Can you imagine Abraham maybe talking to Sarah and he's like, you know what? I think maybe it's time for us to take a little vacation after their bodies have been changed. And if she was an old woman, if she had been a little old lady, you can't even, in the South, you can't get a little old sister to ride in the car with air conditioner, without air conditioning for about 30 miles. They'll begin to say, I can't put up with this. Now, how would a little old lady put up with an 11-day trip to Gerar on the back of a camel when her bones is falling apart and her hair's gray and everything is not working right? That doesn't make any sense. You got to read between the lines. See, read between the lines of what's happening. And then when they got over there, the Amalek said that Sarah was fair to look upon, a little old lady, fair to look upon. There they were going on their trip. No air conditioning, no comfortable seating, no rest stops, no place to pull over for a quick bathroom break or a quick trip into the gas station to get some snacks, to get some of those little combos or some beef jerky or something, to get a little root beer or whatever. There was no place like that. That would have not have been a trip for a little old lady to take on. See, Brother Brown said, see, read between the lines. It's a type. He said it shows there what he is going to do to all the children of Abraham. He's going to do the same thing to all the children of Abraham. He said, just we're nearing it right now, so our stooped shoulders and everything don't make any difference, friends. It don't make any difference how stooped shoulders you are, how gray hair you are, how all your bodies begin to fall apart. He says, and our gray hairs and whatever it is, it doesn't matter now. We don't look back. Let's look forward to what we're coming to. That's why the Bible in 1 Corinthians says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you're going to leave all of the frailty behind. We're not depending on our youthfulness or our vigor. We're depending on the Word of God to change us. In Romans 8:22, it says, waiting, we're all waiting, the whole creation waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. In other words, we're waiting for all that faith to accumulate so that we'll understand, so that we'll get a revelation that it doesn't matter about all our frailty and all the outside, that we'll get an understanding that we're going to step over and then we'll do it. Amen. From old to eternal all at once. Amen. From old to eternal in a blink of an eye, in a twinkling of an eye, in a revelation, just in a moment and in a twinkling. Amen. Listen, y'all might be falling asleep on me, but listen. I still believe that there's going to be a rapture. Amen. I'm standing that there's going to be a rapture. I believe that despite all the years of hardship and trials and travails, there is going to be a group that takes a body change. I believe that some sitting here today are going to be in that number, that one day they'll be walking to see grandma, or they'll be walking over to their neighbor's house, and they'll be gone. They'll be taken away because something will happen. What will happen? The same thing that happened to Abraham and Sarah. The same thing that happened to Enoch, transformed by the power of God, transformed by that seed of Abraham. And he said, remember this sign that we're seeing. This sign that we're seeing was the last sign. A man coming up to Abraham and Sarah, talking about things, revealing to them the secrets of their heart, with his back turned to the tent. He said, this is the last sign that Abraham and Sarah saw before the promised son come into existence. Now, I just maybe think about that for a minute. Frame that in your mind. Before, that's the last sign, that sign, before the promised son comes into existence. Before, what's the promised son? The son of man. Before the son of man comes into existence is revealed, but that will be the last sign, the sign of the son of man. In other words, before Isaac himself, Christ himself, would arrive, that would be the last sign. And you think about how much time has passed since we saw all those miraculous things. Brother Branham turning his back on the congregation and speaking things, exactly showing the same sign of the Son of Man that was shown to Abraham and Sarah. And he said that would be the last sign before you would actually see that promised son come upon the scene. He said, we're living as it was in Sodom. The whole system has become polluted. The world system, everything, the church system, political system. There's nothing. Politics is so corrupted. Now, if politics is so corrupted, why are we so wrapped up in politics? That's more of that junk that Brother Branham was talking about. If we'll lay aside all of this junk and trash that ain't going to benefit us all, then I believe we'll get somewhere. He said the systems everywhere are dictators. It's all corruption. The church has become the same way. Families have become the same way. It's just corruption. He said, then remember, God has got that before you. Remember, he said that he would represent himself in human flesh and would do like he did before Sodom, before the promised son came on the scene. And that's what I believe the message of the hour. Because it actually fulfills what was spoken of in Luke chapter 17. It actually fulfills what was spoken of in Matthew 24. That as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, so will it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And there's no other fulfillment of those things, of those scriptures, outside of the message of the hour. There's no other fulfillment and no other denominational system, no other system of the world, no Buddhists, no Catholics, nothing else will you find a fulfillment of those promises. In the word of God. You can look and you can search, but you will never find the fulfillment of Malachi 4 and of Luke 17 and of Revelation 10 and Revelation 4 and all of those scriptures. You'll never find it lined up so perfectly. It's indisputable. You see, now when Brother Branham was preaching this message, you see, you conquer, you have power to conquer every gate. You have power over every gate of the enemy once you go through a trial to prove your faith. And so Brother Branham's laying out in this message that Abraham went through a trial. And his trial was take your child and the promised son, take him up to the top of the mountain and kill him. And he went through all the act. He raised his hand with a knife in it. He went through all the act, and then God came on the scene and provided a ram there in the thicket. Now you see, Brother Branham said, could you imagine Isaac, about 12 years old, lovely little curly haired boy, little brown eyes. I'll imagine how that mother felt, beautiful young woman, and his father. And one day God said, I made you a father of nations through this boy, but I want you to take this boy up on the top of the mountain that I'll show you, and I want you to kill him up there for a sacrifice. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine having to do something like that? It was a test. God wanted to see if he would believe his word. Now see, he's doing the same thing to you and I. He's testing you to see if you'll stay with the truth. And if you'll stay with the truth, If you'll stay with it and stand the test, there's a reward to that.
Amen.
Now see, he said, did Abraham fear? No, sir. You got to have the same attributes that Abraham did. Amen. Abraham did not fear. Abraham said this, I am fully persuaded that he is able to raise him up from the dead, for I received him as one from the dead. And if that commandment of God told me to do this, and I've stayed true to it, and it paid off to have given me the son, God is able to raise him from the dead, from which I received him as a figure. Listen, that there's some ammunition for you. Whatever gate you have in front of you in your life that's preventing you from attaining the promise of God, there's some ammunition. If you'll come with the promise of God in your heart like that, I am fully persuaded. God is able. God is able to give me my children. God is able to raise the dead. God is able to change my body. God is able to bring peace to my home. Then you'll see something begin to happen. You see, Brother Bram said, God made the promise. It's up to him to keep it. Sometimes, see how so often we flip the script on that. We think that it's up to us to prove that we're Christians. We think that it's up to us to muster up within ourselves the courage and muster up within ourselves. You begin to talk to people and you ask them, well, how did you overcome? And many times they'll try to explain to you something that they did. Well, I went and listened to the so-and-so philosopher or whatever. I went and I tried these things and I tried this little mental exercise and that's how I overcome. But that's not how a Christian overcomes. A Christian overcomes by believing that God's going to do it, and then God does it. It's not us that does it. It's God doing it. And Brother Brown said, if God give you Pentecostals, the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, how much more ought you to believe His healing power and His goodness and mercy? If He did that against all the theologians in the country, they said it couldn't be done, but God did it because He promised. God is able to provide. He said, when they got up there and he was obedient, Isaac began to get kind of suspicious. He said, Father, here's the wood, here's the altar, here's the fire, but where is the sacrifice? And Brother Bram begins to, I'm kind of skipping over some things. He began to explain where did that ram come from? When he looked over and heard the bleating of the ram, he said, the country was full of lions and wolves and jackals and that sheep devouring beast. All around was many obstacles to prevent a ram from coming on the scene. And how far back from civilization was it? And then up on top of the mountain where there is no water. And he had picked up the stones all around to make the altar. He had already been over all over that mountain. And he didn't see a ram anywhere. But all of a sudden, right there in the hour that it was needed the most, God provided a ram. Now he said, see how Brother Bram, he begins to switch and he begins to talk to the people in the congregation. He said, how are you going to come out of that chair, you in that wheelchair? Whatever your gate is, whatever your problem is in your life, how is that spastic child going to get well? Are you from that chair? You from there? You with a heart trouble? He said, whatever is the matter, whatever it is in your life, whatever is the matter, God is able to provide for himself. Whether it's headaches or heartaches or heart problems or kidney problems or mind problems or depression or suicidal thoughts, whatever it is, God is able to provide. He's able to provide. He's able to come on the scene in your hour of need. Why? Because thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. See, Abraham believed it. The patriarch stayed true to the promise, and he gave the promise that your seed, because you believe my word, and regardless of what the circumstance is, regardless of the circumstance, your seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. Now what is his seed? That seed is Christ. So if you can get in that seed, become part of that, then you've got access to that promise. You've got access to the promise that thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. Now the promise of Abraham, Brother Abraham says, was that his seed, now his royal seed, in other words, the supernatural seed. We're not talking about a natural seed, but the supernatural seed. His royal seed. Also, as I told you a while ago, and this seal that he gave Abraham was a seal of promise. And the royal seed, according to Ephesians 4:30, is sealed by the Holy Ghost after they have stood the test. Now, this comes from Galatians 3:16 that says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, he saith, and to seeds as of many, but as of one. Not as and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. So if you get sealed into Christ, If you get sealed into Him, then you've got access to this promise. He said, you believe every word, then you are sealed after the test.
Yeah.
When we believe every promise in the Word, then we are sealed by the Spirit to confirm the promise. That's what, it's what Abraham, the way he did it, the way Abraham did it, then and then only have we the right to possess the gate of our enemy. Now listen to this. He said, you cannot do it until first you become that seed. You cannot do it until first you become, you cannot do it on your own. He said, a lot of people thinks they gotta be something. A lot of things, people think they gotta be something or do something or work something up. He said, just common faith is all you have to apply the blood by. Just common, and then he begins to talk about the token. Now, you know how in the Old Testament they would take that blood and apply it over the lintel of the door with just some simple, basic, one of the questions that the young people had at the youth gathering was, how do I have faith? Just as simple as just come. I believe that when I start my car, I'm going to come to church. I believe that when mom and daddy promises that they're going to give me an allowance every week, that they're going to give it to me. And that's faith. That's the same way that you approach the Word of God. You take that little hyssop, that common weed, and you brush it in the blood, and you apply it. Now, how did Brother Branham say to apply it? You just say, I believe that you promised it, Lord, and I got this problem in my life. And now I'm applying the blood to that problem in my life. I'm turning it over to you. I'm putting all my cares upon you. I got all these problems in my body, but now I'm applying the blood to the situation. I need the Holy Ghost in my life, but I'm applying the blood to it. You promised it. And now I'm taking the simple faith and I'm brushing it through your promise, through what you did on the cross, and I'm applying it to the situation. That's how you apply the blood. You're applying what He already did to the situation. You're applying it. How do you do it? Through simple childlike faith. Just coming to it with like a little plant that you would grab off the side of the road. I just believe your promises. You promised it, and I believe it. He said, hear the word, believe the word, apply it. That's all. I'm skipping through some things here. Now let's look. I really didn't mean to keep you long, so I'm gonna try to kind of skim through some of this. Hey, now see the natural seed. There's two seeds, Brother Brown said. The spiritual seed and the natural seed. The natural seed, and he said, let's just check some of those natural seed and see if God kept His word with the natural seed, which was Isaac. And he said, many of them bitterly failed. Because in Romans chapter 2, for he is not a Jew, the natural, on the outside, you would think that a Jew, somebody that was an Israelite would be able to fulfill and do, but that's not what it is. Religion is not what we need. We need something more than religion. We need something supernatural. Religion is when you try to do it your own self. When you try to cover it up, you're going to church and you're going through the motions and you've got your own little moral code and you come to church and you've got some things that you believe are right to do and wrong to do and you come to church and maybe you pay your tithes and you're doing some good works. But when something supernatural begins to take place, it elevates it from those dead works that you're just doing day by day. Just because of you've got some good religion, and it begins to make it alive. And he said, so in Romans chapter 2 verse 28 says, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart and the spirit and not in the letter. And that's when the Jews began to get mad at Jesus, because he began to explain to them that your natural lineage is not good enough. You need to be born again. You need something on the inside. And they began to say, you know, our fathers ate manna in the desert. As it's written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And he said, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they're all dead. Why were they dead? Because they had a good religious covering. They were nice religious people. He said, dead, take that word and run it. See what it means. Eternally separated. Yet they were Abraham's seed. Death means separation, annihilation, completely destroyed. See, poor folks, just because we're Methodist or Baptist or Presbyterian, got a little confession and things like that, the devil believes just as much as we do. And I'll say, maybe incorporate this a little bit. Just because we say that we're good message people, that we come and sit in a message church, religion is not enough. Churchianity is not enough. We need something to deliver us from our churchianity. It's the power of the resurrected Christ that will conquer every enemy. Your churchianity and your religion is not at your moral codes, and your pursuit of something that you believe to be important is not enough. You need something. You've got to be identified with the sacrifice. God has got to witness it to it by a sealing with the Holy Spirit that sets you up to where there's no question of the word. And Brother Branham said, when a man sees the word of God made plain before him and identified and then shuts and pulls down his denominational curtains, there is something wrong with that man spiritually. When he looks through his natural eyes of lacking understanding and tries to understand it and just turns away, you need something supernatural to give you supernatural understanding. Brother Branham begins to run through all these Old Testament heroes of the faith that showed that came to the test, like Daniel, that was tested for the worship of one true God. He was tested for that, and then in the time of test, he stood the test. He said Daniel stayed true to the test that there is one God, and he possessed the gate of his enemy. God had closed the mouth of the lion. Daniel was not ashamed to pray and worship God. You begin to look at all these heroes and how they came to the test and how they overcame and how they conquered the gate of the enemy. And you can apply that to your own life and conquer the gate of the enemy in the same way. Moses, that stayed true to the promised word before the false impersonators, Jannes and Jambres, in the test. That when he came and he threw down his rod in front of him, and here came Jannes and Jambres to try to do the same thing, he just stood back and waited. That was his test, because he was trusting in what God had told him to do. He just stood back and trust. You know what Brother Branham said that is? I think it's why it had to be shepherds. He said that was a type of the scripture that says, though heaven and earth shall pass away, my words shall never fail. And there you've got a picture of Moses throwing his serpent down, and those two other serpents typing heaven and earth passing away, falling, being swallowed up by the word of God, right. Swallowing them up. And Moses didn't throw up his hand and say, well, I guess it's all wrong. Nope. And Joshua, they came to a place called Kadesh, and he passed the test. The center of the world at that time, insomuch that was the judgment seat. And oh, they sent out 12 spies to look at the land, and 12 of them came back. He said, 10 of them said, oh, it's too much of a job. We just couldn't do it. Well, them people, they looked like grasshoppers by the side of them. But Joshua and Caleb, still the people said, wait a minute, we're more than able to take it. No matter how little we are or how much in the minority, it doesn't matter what the outside looks like. God is able. We serve a living God that's able to deliver us. He said, what was he doing? He was standing true to that promise. I give you this land, but you fight for every inch of it. And you'll fight for every inch of your land. You know how we fight? Thank God we don't have to get a sword up and go swiping people's heads off and go fighting like the Israelites did. But we fight by not accepting any of the devil's lies. We fight when you go into your workplace and people begin to say, I don't believe that God that you proclaim. You're fighting because you're standing for something that's true. When you stand your ground and claim what God has promised, that God promised that he promised healing in your body and salvation for your soul and for your family. You're actually like fulfilling the scripture that says the violent take it by force. You're actually fighting for what you believe in. And you've got to fight for every inch of ground you take. When the doctor tells you it's not possible for you to be healed, when the doctor tells you lays something despairing in front of you, it's time to fight. He said, no matter how big you are and what the opposition is and what the doctor said, God give the promise. Amen. It's up to God to do it. He said, what did Joshua do? When he come down to the river of Jordan, he possessed the gate. That's what he did. Jericho closed up like a turtle in a shell. What did he do? He possessed the gate. Even one day when his enemy was trying to take him, he possessed the gate of his enemy so much that he commanded the sun to stand still. How could he do that? Because he had passed the test. He had proven that he was willing to fight and stand his ground for every promise of God. He was willing to take God at his word despite how all the circumstances looked. God is true to his promise, no matter what he has to do. I love this quote. He said, bankrupt the heavens before he would let his word go defeated. He never made a promise that he can't keep. I'm the Lord that heals all thy diseases. Now, if you come to God, if you come laying his promises before him like that, that I believe that you said that you'd bankrupt the heavens before you let your word go defeated. Something that's how you conquer the gate. That's how you conquer every gate of the enemy. And then after all those natural seeds, finally on the scene came the royal seed of Abraham, the one that we're talking about. They were all the natural seed from Isaac, but here come the royal seed of Abraham, which was Christ, Abraham's seed of faith, what we're supposed to be. Just see how, whether we are or not. He said, now the natural seed only was a type. All others was born of natural birth, but he come of virgin birth. See, that wasn't of the seed of Abraham, then a Jew. He come by the seed of faith of the promise. And then we're supposed to be his children through this man. Now think about what this man did that came upon the scene. It looked like he was a failure when he died on the cross and when he was buried in the grave. But when he rose up, he conquered and possessed every gate the enemy had. The royal seed. He promised it by the word. He conquered it. He conquered every seed. Now there's some... there's some powerful things that I believe will give you some ammunition this afternoon. I feel a little bit like I'm plowing this afternoon because I'm fighting some sleepy spirits. But I believe there's some, yeah, y'all put a little bit. Come on now. Brother Branham said, the power in this is that it's not you that's doing the conquering. He died on the cross and rose from the grave to pay the way for every promise in the God, of God, every promise, every blessing that's written in the Bible. That's why he said he conquered the gate of sickness for us. That's what he come to do. He conquered the gate of sickness for us. He remembers sick people. He conquered that gate. You don't have to conquer it. He conquered it. You don't have to conquer it. A lot of times we go to the doctor and we get that bad report and we feel like we've got to conquer it so that we can go back to church and we can prove to everybody what a Christian are, what a real Christian is. But a real Christian is resting. Rest. And you just sit back and you say, God, you promised it. I ain't got to do nothing. I don't have to do anything. All I have to do is believe it. That's how you'll conquer the enemy. It's just putting all of your faith in the one that conquered everything when he rose from the grave. The other men had to conquer their own gate, Brother Branham said, but you don't have to conquer. It's already conquered. He conquered the gates of sickness. And what did he do when he conquered the gates of sickness? Saying that he would. Whatever you ask on earth and whatever you bound on earth, he would bind it in heaven. He said he'd give us the keys to the gate. So he conquered the gate and then he gave you the keys to it. So you could go through it. You could blast through it. You could say, you could just ignore all the stuff the devil's doing. Ignore the infirmity of your flesh. Ignore the weakness of your body. Ignore all the gray hairs. Ignore all the naysayers and just plow straight ahead to victory. He said he conquered the gate of temptation by the word, and the keys was resist the enemy and he'll flee from you. He conquered it all, conquered every sickness. He conquered death and he conquered hell. He conquered death and hell. He conquered what the others couldn't conquer because they're of the natural seed. This is the spiritual seed. He conquered that gate of the grave and rose up on the third day for our justification. And now we are more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors through him. Amen. If we'll get in him and bury ourselves in him, we become through that because he gave us the keys. He said, whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind it in heaven. That's the royal seed of Abraham, his promise. That's actually fulfilling that promise that he gave to Abraham thousands and thousands of years ago, that thy seed shall possess the gate of thy enemy. Thy seed, which is Christ. And if you're part of Christ, Christ is working through your members. Christ is working through your life to overcome. He's seated at the right hand of the Father to overcome every battle, to fight every sickness, to fight everything that the devil throws at you. You see, we're not a defeated army. We're not a defeated people this afternoon. We're not, like people say, well, I don't see all the miracles. I wonder if God's still present. I wonder if he's still doing so. Let me declare to you this afternoon that God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still the same as he was when he stood by Moses when he threw his rod down. He's the same as he was when he stood by Joshua when he crossed over the Jordan River. He's still the same as he was when he stood by all those heroes of the faith that stood by him. That's why Brother Branham said, with the same Spirit of God in us that was in him, we are more than conquerors. With that same Spirit of God in us that was in Christ, we are more than conquerors. Every gate has been conquered for us. The only thing we have to do is possess it. It's already conquered. The only thing you have to do is just go get it. Go fight for it. In other words, go apply the blood. Go stand believing. That doesn't mean that there's not going to be a battle. There's going to be long nights in prayer, long nights of study. What do these things mean? Is the Bible true? Are these things correct? How can I apply them in my life? But when a gate stands before you, it's already been conquered, and all you have to do is go out and possess it. He said, if it's sickness, you are more than a conqueror for it. We are more than a conqueror, and the seed of Abraham shall possess the gate of the enemy. When they say these things cannot happen, when they want to call the devil or Beelzebub or something else, God is sure to conquer every gate and take the enemy. And that's why he said, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. What are we afraid about? Possess the gates. We have God's promise. We have his word. We have his Holy Spirit. The angels are encamped about. Everything's in order. Amen. Every wall can be took down. It's already took down. The Son of God goes before us. His banners are waving. And there's nothing can stand in the way of a saint going to meet a promise of God. Death can't stop it. The grave can't stop it. The devil can't stop it. We are more than conquerors. Sickness is conquered for you, friends. Death is conquered for you. Unbeliever, won't you receive him? Habits has been conquered for you. Temptation's been conquered. You say, I got a temper. I can't get over it. It's conquered. He's already conquered it. The great final seed of Abraham. There's no more conquering to do now. He conquered for us. I'm reading straight out of the message. He said, whatever problem you have in life, whatever thing that you're dealing with that you want to get rid of, whatever it is, it's already conquered. All you've got to do is go out and get it. Go apply the blood. Go seize the gate. Go. You've got the keys to get through the gate. You've got everything. You've been equipped for the battle. The word says it, and you were called to possess the gates of your enemy. And I'm going to close on that. The musicians go ahead and come. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Because you are the seed of Abraham. And you've got a promise that thy seed shall possess the gates of the enemy. And Brother Branham, when he got to the end of this message, he asked him the question, what kind of a gate stands before you? Because it doesn't matter what kind of a gate it is. It doesn't matter. It's already conquered. So I want to ask that to you this afternoon. What kind of a gate do you have in front of you? Is it sickness? Is it depression? Is it temptation? Is it bitterness and loneliness? And maybe you've got a temper. Maybe you've got whatever it is. Whatever your gate is, it's already been conquered. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's already overcome. Let's stand to our feet and just worship the Lord a little bit. You love the Lord this evening. To be able to have access to a privilege like that, to a benefit package like that, where it's all of the gates are already conquered.
Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all.
Just surrender to him now.
I surrender to the King.
Maybe sometimes we need to let him conquer us.
Oh, let the worshipers.
Just let him take over. And God, I want you to take over me. Take over my life.
I'm surrendering my all.
Maybe that gate in front of you is you need a renewing of the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Surrender to.
Maybe you need a blessing from him this afternoon.
Sing that first verse.
Let's surrender to everything.
Father, I see that you are drawing. Line in the sand, and I want to be standing, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer, this is my plea. Let the worshipers arise. Oh, let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all.
Surrender to Him now. Let Him do something with you.
I surrender to the King. Oh, Father, I hear it growing louder. The song of your redeemed as the bride of every nation. It's awakening to sing. From our hearts there comes an anthem. Oh, hear the praises ring. This is our song. A song to our King, let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King.
Sing the third verse.
Father, I see the Lamb arising with the book of His redeemed. We have opened up the seals, and now the bride will see His brand new revelation. The song of eternity, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is our King, let the worshipers arise. Sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King.
Verse 4.
Oh, Father, I see in word of your King, she is rising now in power. She's anointed to see. Oh, the seals have now been opened. It's the last great mystery. This is our song. The song of redeemed. Let the worshipers arise. And let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I see the bride rejoicing in the song of victory. Every chain of death is broken and we have been set free. Satan, he has been defeated. Let our worship be praise to our Lord. Pleasing to our King, let the worshipers arise. Oh, let the sun surrender in my all. I surrender to the King.
Once again,
oh, let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing.
How you overcome every gate is just surrender to Him and let Him take over. So many times we try to get our own selves all involved in our kids and try to do the saving of our kids and fixing up of our family. But if we'll just turn loose and let God get a hold of it, let something supernatural take place. Watch those gates of the enemy fall away. You love them this afternoon? What, you want to make it, everybody good? All right. Be here Wednesday night, same time. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer and we'll be dismissed. Lord God, we're so grateful, Lord God, for what you did for us on the cross. And you rose, Lord God, and you led captivity captive, Lord. You broke every barrier. You broke every bond, Lord Jesus. You conquered every enemy, Lord Jesus. Lord, if we could just accept it now. I pray, Lord, as the saints go their different ways, Lord Jesus, that you'll increase their faith. Lord, may they be like Abraham on the journey, that as they put one step in front of the other, Lord, their faith will begin to accumulate and build and build, Lord God, until they just take your promises, Lord Jesus. They just lay hold of everything that you've already done for us, Lord, believing that you're the one that did all the conquering. We don't have to do nothing, Lord God, but just let you do all the fighting, let you do all the battling. You're the one that did it, Lord Jesus. And we believe you and we thank you, Lord God, for all these things, all these promises that you've given unto us now. We ask, Lord, that you'll just bless your people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're dismissed. Sing it to him as you go.
Oh, let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering.